All right, so welcome this morning, right, to our teaching. We're continuing on the subject of prayer, and we're looking at the importance of praying for people. Now, but we will try and touch on something else. Now, last week, I did realize that it was freezing, all right, so I'll touch on a few other things we said last week, and then I'll go on from there. So, we're talking about the importance of praying for people. Many times we get into this issue of praying for things, all right, and praying for occurrences or praying for events and praying for certain things. But if we look closely at what we are asking for, many of these things, majority except what we are asking for, is a direct action of the Holy Spirit upon our soul or body. In other words, the opening up of the eyes of your understanding, which requires a soul direct action of the Holy Ghost upon the soul of a man. Or you are asking for healing in your body, which is the soul direct action of the Holy Spirit in quickening that mortal body there. If it's in the soul, in causing lights to shine to save that soul. If it's in the body, causing the life of Jesus Christ to be made manifest in that mortal flesh. Now, outside of this, most of the prayers that people are offering up requires the response of people to them in a certain way. In other words, people have got to make a decision towards them. That's why you'll understand that the Bible says Jesus grew in stature and wisdom, in favor with God and with man. In other words, there was that horizontal side to his growth. In terms of people were responding better and better to Jesus every day. Favor with man required the cooperation of men, all right, in order for Jesus to be able to fulfill his mandate there. So it's important. And many things we do, all right, we ask for material things. Many of these things are in the custody of people. That's why Paul said to Timothy, he said this. This was the last years of his ministry when he was handing over to Timothy. He said in 1 Timothy 2:1, I exhort therefore, he said, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and the giving of thanks be made for all men. He said, for kings and for all those who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, for this is good and acceptable in the eyes of God our Savior. So he says, prayer should be made for all men. Many people, you know, you're praying, God, give me a promotion, but it requires people make a decision towards you. You're praying for your spouse, it requires a person makes a decision towards you. You're praying for a change, maybe what's going on in your home. You are asking for a person to change in their mind. It actually requires a person behaving in a certain way towards you for that particular prayer to be answered. All right? You're talking about, you know, praying, but it requires people to pray. And many times we are not praying for people, but we are praying for things. And the first time this struck me was, I had a story by a man called Buddy Hansen, and he was the son-in-law of Papa Hagen of blessed memory. And what happened was that he had a particular publishing house back then called the Harrison House. And what they were responsible for was the publishing of many of the Word of Faith books that came out. There was the broadcast center. And so what happened was that they had a particular type of Bible, I think it was called the Topical Bible, that they wanted to start distributing. And they needed several hundreds of thousands of dollars, all right, to be able to get this Bible out. And they had a deadline towards it. Now, when Buddy Harrington, this, I put it in context, all right, this is the son-in-law of Kenneth Hagin. Now, you can't get closer, all right, to Word of Faith than that. And he was responsible for publishing, all right, Word of Faith material all over the entire earth. And he was talking about the fact that, you know, we put on our confessor and begin to confess and confess and confess and confess. And as the day was getting nearer, he knew that no changes were happening. So he was wondering what was going on. And so there was a particular seminar they were having in Tulsa, Kenneth Hagin, and his two friends, Reverend Jerry Savelle and a man called Pastor Happy or Reverend Happy Caldwell, came in for the meeting with their wives. And they met in their home. And he began to open up to them about what was going on. And this is the importance of having a small group in your life that supports you through every process. You see, your journey in the wilderness of this life, one of the requirements is that you belong to a spiritual cell where you can present what is going on, and two functions happen. brainstorm, all right, over the necessary scriptures to decode what is in the mind of God, and then pray that particular thing through so that the will of God comes to pass on the earth. Daniel had that group within his life. Paul had that group within his life. Even somebody like Luke was part of the inner, all right, company of Paul, when the Bible says Paul sailed with his company. All right. We also had Peter and John who returned back to their own company. So companies are how, you know, kingdom government is established upon the earth. But that's for another day. So he got his friends together and he said, his friend there, Harper Caldwell, said, well, in their own intercession in the church, they have looked at, all right, that particular scripture, which means, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. And today I want to look at this order, all right, for us within our lives. And he said there's a divine order to that. Supplications, petitions, or prayers, sorry, intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men. And these are distinct words that actually describe different activity in the act of praying. They are all forms of prayer, but the activity that is carried out, in other words, the task that is performed in a prayer, all right, is different. These are four distinct types of prayer. So there's what you call a supplication. There's what you call, all right, the prayer there. There's what you call intercession, and then the giving of thanks. And so he said, all right, let's pray this. And then Reverend Savell said, let us pray for people. All right, that the money you need, it's in the bank. He had applied 2-3 times. They had refused in the bank. He said, let us now pray for people. You see, when you pray for people, people open up doors for you in life. They open up the things that you're trying to get. It takes a person to open up a door to you. Very important, all right, on this earth. Many people are very, you know, deep, all right, on scriptural matters, but don't understand the role of people and relational issues there. I remember once I was, all right, in an airport, and I had missed, all right, my train. Let's say I was going to Terminal B, and I went to Terminal C. And so what happened was I had to go back to Terminal B. But as it is, all right, once you're coming from Terminal C to Terminal B, the door doesn't open up on the part of departure. It only opens up on arrival. In other words, if I came back with that particular train back to Terminal B there, all right, it won't have opened up in the area of departure. It will have opened up in the area of arrival. So I'll have to go through the immigration again, enter back into England, all right, and all my luggage, they were calling the flight, and then I will have to go through security again, all right, to come out, which means come out at arrival, then rush up to departure, then go through security again with my boarding pass. I would have missed the flight. So I was stuck, and a gentleman just walked up to me and said to me, and I found the power of people there. And he said, what's the problem? And I said, I was just standing. I said, I can't get back. He said, well, there's a tunnel over there. If you go down these particular steps and walk through that tunnel, it's a long walk, but you'll get there in 10 minutes. Now, I went down into the tunnel, and it was like a dark alley. It had lights and all of that. And only two individuals walking, all right. It was right on the ground, all right, in Heathrow Airport Pump. I never knew that kind of place existed. It took a person and their pathways in this life. What you've got to understand and respect is this. There are pathways in this life. There are places that men must open up the door, all right, for you as an individual, right, in order for you to be able to access those things. I remember once it was Reverend Keith Moore. He said he missed a particular flight. They had canceled the flight. He had to be at a meeting, and they had canceled flights, and there were delays and all of that, and people were losing their temper at the airport and getting so angry. And he said, look, he just went to that particular man and said, you are the one in authority here. Right? And this is my problem. I need to be at this meeting, and I know what's going on. He said he spoke peace to the soul of that man and ministered peace to him. He said the gentleman who was at the counter, who everybody was insulting, shouting, and abusing, he said he looked at him and said, hold it, and kept typing. Finally, he said, pam, here is your boarding pass. He said he took him and said, follow me, bring your luggage. He said he went through pathways in the airport he didn't know existed. Next thing, he took him to this particular plane. He said this plane is going to this particular place, and then you can connect with this other flight, all right, right here, and you'll get on time for your meeting. Here's your boarding pass. You have placed you in first class because those are the only seats available. You are fine first class. He booked for a common board. I put you on first class. You are fine first class. Change over there. You land there on time. Then he looked at the man and said something to Reverend Keith Moore. He said, thank you very much for what you did. And looked at Reverend Keith Moore. He said, you spoke to me with respect. He said, I helped you. He said, I'm going back to that place to hurt those who are disrespecting me. He said, I'm going to hurt them. In other words, he said, I'm going against them. You see, people are doors, all right? People are doors. And Paul was telling Timothy, almost saying that, you know, there are some things, you know, I went through that wasn't necessary, Timothy, all right? Some of these things I struggled with wasn't necessary. He said that we might live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. He said some people in authority will not even tempt you with certain things. They won't even ask you to do certain things that contradict your faith. If you are praying for them daily, if you go to the office and you are praying for everybody who is in authority for the well-being and the welfare of the people in that place, they treat you differently. They treat you differently. I mean, we're in a situation once many years ago in school, and I noticed that, you know, we were attending the church, all my friend, and this man got mad with all of us. But there was a gentleman who was among us. He never asked once. And I went to meet him. He was an intercessor. He said, I pray for the man. I pray for his wife. I pray. I'm not just here to listen to him preach. I'm praying for his well-being. The way he treated that person was completely different from the way he treated every other person. So Paul was saying, look, there are some kings we didn't put under the influence of the Holy Ghost. We left it uncovered, and the enemy could go into them and cause a lot of problem and havoc for them. You know, when they talk about wicked spirits in heavenly places, in high places, it's just a wicked spirit. But really, it's talking about when a wicked spirit gets into a man in a position of authority, they can wreak havoc. It's one thing for a spirit to be operating on a man at a low level. It's one thing to be operating in a man with governmental authority and power. Can wreak real havoc. And the church must master this, because the end game of Satan is to use governmental power against the church, which means that John the Baptist, how do I stop him? Governmental power. Get Herod to cut his head off. All right. When Jesus was born, that was a wicked spirit in high places that said, go and kill all 2-year-olds. You see, few things can wreak as much havoc as a man in power, all right, deciding to do wrong. Somebody writing, he said, the only thing that has wreaked more havoc in the history of man, all right, on humanity, outside natural disasters, are political people in authority who make wrong decisions. They can cause problems. They can do things, all right? And some of those things are just not necessary if you didn't allow Satan to have control over the space there. So he said, pray for kings, for those who are in authority, and so on. Happy Caldwell and Jerry Savelle began to pray, and Buddy Harrington, and he said they prayed and prayed and got a breakthrough and a release in the place of prayer. The minute, because Savelle said, let's pray for the banker. Let's ask that if he has any committee that he has to answer to and explain, let's pray for them and bring. Well, they started praying for the banker, praying for the bank manager, praying for the committee, praying, and they prayed it through. And the minute they prayed it through, Buddy Harrington said something. He said the minute they got the release in the spirit there, after offering up the supplication, I explain what that is, right? The minute they prayed it through, which is one of the aspects of effective prayer, the minute they prayed through and got the release, he said, call the bank manager right now, and you will find out that he will have changed his mind concerning this facility he wanted to give to us. They called him at that particular moment, and the man said, something just happened. We've never done this in 35 years, but we've decided to make adjustment concerning you. So they focused on the person who was in authority, who had that particular thing in his hands. God moved on that particular situation, and there was that kind of change. So pray for those kings, princes, and those who are in authority. Now, what's a supplication? A supplication is a written formal request. In other words, what you do in a supplication there is that you go and find, it's like a lawyer who, let's say you have a case now, you want to get a person, maybe you own a property and there's somebody in property who is legally occupying that particular place. Now, you can't just go to the judge and say, excuse me, you know, somebody's illegally operating. Now, you're right, but he's illegally operating in my house. Get him out of my house. You've got to get a lawyer. Why do you get a lawyer? You know, all right, this is what I want, but the lawyer now frames it within the context of the law, citing the areas of the law when he's making that particular presentation, all right, to the judge. That's a supplication there. It is a written request where you cite the areas within that particular law that back that particular request. So what you should really do is, if you have a group of friends, all right, brainstorm with these people here. Call one or two, three, two or three of your spiritual people together and say, look, let's look through the Word of God. And this is how you really study the Word of God in terms of fellowship now, right? Let's look through the Word of God here. Can we find scriptures? Do you know scriptures here? And everybody begins to pull out scriptures. You talk about the scriptures, and then you come to a point of agreement concerning the scriptures, and you say to yourselves, this is the fastest way to get out of the situation. And you say to yourself, these are the scriptures. You're excited about what you have seen in the Word of God. And then you write out, all right, that particular supplication, and you make a heartfelt prayer unto God, which means it's prayed with intensity, it's prayed from the heart, and the content must be right. That's a supplication. Now, the minute you ask according to the will of God, he hears you. And once he hears you, he grants that particular request. You've got to understand this, that the time where we get the manifestation differs from the time where God answers. It could be, right? It could be weeks, it could be months, but it does differ. It could be minutes, but it does differ. In other words, after 21 days, the angel came through for Daniel and told Daniel, he said, from the first day, the fact that I came through in 21 days doesn't mean that's when God answered the prayer. We've got to get it. He said, from the moment in which your prayer came forth, the commandment was issued, he said, and I was released to bring about the fulfillment of that commandment, but I was withheld 120 days. In other words, once you offer up a supplication, there's persuasion from the scriptures there, real persuasion from the scriptures that this, all right, is the will of God, then let it be prayed. So if you are dealing with something that people are in authority over that particular thing, if you are dealing there with a promotion, if you are dealing there with something that it requires somebody in authority or people to act towards you in a certain way, direct your prayers towards those particular people. In other words, ask that they act, all right, in that particular way towards you. Now, what we're going to show is this. When you offer up that kind of prayer, we're going to see this, that if you say, be thou warmed and filled, God says that you have to give what is needful. Now, during that time period between when you offer up the prayer and there's going to be the manifestation is the greatest experience you have as a Christian. The waiting period is your greatest, all right, experience as a Christian. That is when, I think, F.F. Butler talked about, he said, the genius of Christianity lies there. He said, because you have the opportunity to receive what is called the fullness of life. Now, that is where you get the best lessons in Christianity. That's where you have the greatest revelation and the most instructions that you have as a person. In fact, the knowledge of wisdom you acquire during that waiting period is far greater than any manifestation that you are going to get within your life. But you have to be in faith. You mustn't waver, all right? It's wisdom that is going to come in. You mustn't waver. In other words, if you are praying, let's assume for your business to grow, all right, and you're praying for people and asking for growth in business, more clients, during that waiting period, the Holy Ghost is going to show you either the service or the product that you put out there in order for that particular thing to manifest within your life, right? You're praying, all right, for a change in something. The minute you've offered the prayer, God has heard. The waiting period is an impartation of divine wisdom into your soul to bring about certain things. You are asking for promotion, God comes and teaches and instructs you on how to conduct your affairs within that office that will trigger favor in your direction and supernatural, all right, elevation within your life. So he will show you things. It's the most powerful period within your life. So once you offer up the supplication to God, after you have gotten the word base for that particular thing, then you pray it out to God. Then you understand what the next thing is as a supplication is called prayer. That word prayer there means worship. In other words, from that moment, you've got to be worshiping God over that particular thing. Now it's important. Worship means the process has begun. God has started taking you into the fulfillment of that promise. Worship is that you refuse to harden your heart as you are going through the process there, but you surrender your heart, you go through certain things, and you surrender your heart unto God in the place of worship. Once you know that you've offered up a prayer, it has been heard and answered, then you put yourself in a place where you worship God. What's going to happen? Because of time, I can't get into this because I'm going somewhere, right? What's going to happen is that in this process, you're going to die daily. In other words, you're going to have discouraging signals, all kinds of, but just stay there in the place of worship. All right, you turn to God and offer the sacrifice of praise. There's thanksgiving. That's true worship in spirit. As circumcision is of the heart, we are in this. By any road, Lord, you lead me through. We know that our prayer has been heard and answered. We bring ourselves into your hands in worship. Then you get into what is called intercession. Now, intercession is what I want to sit on today, because the scripture says in Romans 8:25-26, which is so important, it says, when we wait, we're talking about the waiting period and intercession, and this is what gets into it. Romans chapter 8 here, it says this in 25, but if we hope for that which we see not, then with patience we wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit maketh intercession with groanings that cannot be uttered. In other words, this is what we're saying here. This is the power here. Remember when Daniel offered up his supplication, but Daniel had no idea. He prayed the prayer, and the angel said, I was released. Daniel had no idea. Between that 21 days, the warfare that was going on. Now, you have no idea. After you have prayed that prayer and supplication to God, you have no idea about the details that must happen in order for that particular thing to come to pass. You don't know whether the connecting person is living right now in Paris. You don't know whether he's living right now in Tokyo. You don't know whether he's in Johannesburg. You don't know how the connection. You don't know whether you're going to meet on a plane. So the Holy Spirit now comes in and begins to make intercession with groanings that cannot be uttered. In other words, this is where you are now praying through that particular thing. So you've offered up your supplication. You can read out every single day to build faith. But the intercession is a continuous thing, which means that the Holy Spirit is travailing over that thing. And what he's doing at that time is overcoming, all right, demonic hindrances, praying out that particular thing there. So let's assume that a person is a pastor and is praying for church members. Somebody could be seated in their house. The Holy Spirit picks it. And that person is supposed to come for your service tomorrow, but he's thinking about something else. Somebody calls that person, do you come here? And they're about to get distracted. And when you begin to pray, the Holy Ghost takes the burdens of all of those decisions. That's the struggle that you're having in prayer. That's the intensity there. Places it on you that if you can get a breakthrough here, there are about 30 decisions that must be made at this moment. That burden is placed upon you, and then you are making that intercession there. That's where the Holy Ghost is traveling. It says, while you are waiting for the manifestation of it. So it's that waiting period. Certainty that God has heard and answered our prayer. All right, but we understand that while we're waiting, and when we're waiting there, we're worshiping God there, daily worshiping him and giving him thanks, staying in the place of prayer. Faith, because it says, likewise, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. So the Spirit is helping, is taking hold together with you against something. So you are involved. Your faith is involved. The Holy Spirit now helps you with intercession, with groanings that cannot be uttered. Can you imagine Joseph at that particular point in time? Joseph, there was no way he could have calculated. All right, he had no idea what God had prepared. He might have prayed, well, I had a dream and offered up, but the details of how it was going to come to pass, how the person in authority, all right, Pharaoh had to have a dream and then talk to the chief butler. And then the chief butler, remember, there was a process there. And travailed by the Spirit there, something is actually going on. So when people say they prayed through, it means that they overcame something, all right, inside the hearts of people. Now, once you make sure that your own obedience is complete, which means that you stay in faith, you don't waver, All right. You keep the confession of that particular promise every moment you think about it. You repeat what God has said to you and you confess that. But then you are praying that that inner persuasion that you have concerning the word of God will be translated into reality. And it takes the Holy Spirit walking, all right, on the earth to cause that particular thing to happen. So the Holy Spirit there gets into that place there, which is that waiting period, which is where it's like waiting means you are pregnant. The day that the baby is born is not the day the woman got pregnant. The day your prayer is heard and answered is not necessarily the day, all right, you give birth. Now, if she stops and begins to behave like she's not pregnant, God forbid, she can lose that by her behavior. So you can't begin to behave like you don't have the answer to that prayer. You have to be rejoicing when things appear to go wrong. Worship God, enter into the holiest of all and thank Him and rejoice in hope, and then get yourself again into the place of intercession. That is the continuous thing. That's what Elijah did. He said, I can hear the sound of the abundance of rain, and put himself in that posture where the Holy Ghost could intercede with groanings that could not be uttered in order for there to be a manifestation. You may hear the sound. You may see it in the word of God. That's the sound. But it takes beyond the sound in order to have the manifestation. And that's what Paul was saying there, that intercession must be made for people. Remember, in the workings of this thing, all right, you can stop short of getting the manifestation. A lot of people have offered up prayers and have declared things that are hanging in the realm of the Spirit because there was not enough tenacity and push in the place of prayer. That's what the old patriarchs used to say, right? The old patriarchs. You know, I met a woman at Kenneth Copeland's conference, and she was the granddaughter of a lady that Kenneth Hagin used to speak about, and he used to call her a woman who will pray heaven down to the earth, and talked about the prayer of this woman. Just let me give an example of how effective this woman was in prayer. There was somebody who said her daughter had been missing for 20, I can't remember now, I think it was almost, let me just say 20 years, but that long. But she said inside her heart, she knew her daughter, the police had said the daughter is dead and all of that. She said in her heart, she knows her daughter is alive. She gave birth to this child, she knows this child is alive, 20 years after. So this intercessory group took it up and decided to pray. Now, Kenneth Hagin said he wasn't in church that day, and they went into travailing prayer. And at one point, this woman got up and said, listen, your daughter, and prophesied your daughter, because they got a release, and the minute you get a release, then that's for manifestation. Your daughter, in 30 days from now, your daughter at 12 noon will call you, and she will tell you she's coming. This is somebody had not seen for 20, that the police had said she was dead, right? And will call you. So by the time Kenneth Hagin came, they told him, he said, what's going on? They said, no comment, that if this woman said 30 days, then let's leave her alone and watch for 30 days. On the 30th day, at 12 noon, the daughter called. She had gone out with some hippies and God, and called the mother and returned home after all those years. But they prayed it through. Now, the point I'm getting to, I asked this lady, what will your grandmother say was the difference between then when they were praying now and now? She said, the only thing is that now people don't understand the concept of praying through again. In other words, they just get the word, they sit down with the word, or I quote the scripture and say, God has heard my prayer, and go. And they don't pray through, which means that they don't get into the place of the intercession of the Holy Ghost, which is that place where as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth. We're talking about this concept of praying that particular thing through because people are involved. Now, if people are not involved, so to speak, if it was just something that was left in your own control, maybe you don't need to be that tenacious, or you don't have the, but when other people's minds have to change, when people have to act in a certain way towards you, then praying through is very important. And so you are there and you start the intercession and you are praying and you are praying and you pray through, and then you come back, you pray through, and then you are rejoicing over it. And what you're going to find out is that it gets, as you pray through here and have these bouts where you explosive bouts in prayer, it gets easier to worship God. It gets easier to see the face of God concerning this. Now, I'm talking about practice. I'm not talking about just saying something theoretical. All right? Easier for you to worship God concerning it. You start thanking God. You see a progression and a growth in grace concerning that. The other thing that happens during that time here, Psalm 37. Now, I thought this is where my message really was going to kick off, but time, I've just stopped here. But let me just read Psalm 37 here. It says this, rest in the Lord, verse 7, 37:7, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of someone who prospered in his way, because of a man that bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath, fret not yourself, all right, in anywhere to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while the wicked shall not be. Thou shalt consider his place, and he shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth and delight themselves in the abundance of peace. So he speaks about that, that we should wait upon the Lord. So it's important there not to fret to do evil, not to go out of the way there. Because, you know, it hasn't happened when you felt it should happen. Stay there. In that travailing time, we'll talk about this next week, all right, is when the Holy Spirit begins to teach powerfully. He starts teaching things, all right, very, very powerful things, right? Now, just read one more scripture here concerning it in Psalm 24. There's a scripture here in Psalm 25 and verse 3. It says, yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. So to transgress is to go off path, all right? But those that wait upon the Lord, he says God comes through and does terrible things in righteousness. And while you are waiting upon the Lord there, two things are the things you do. You are praying there in the spirit intentionally. You are rejoicing and you are walking righteousness. Walking righteousness, that means treating people right, all right? Acting with a sense of justice to other people, all right? Conducting your affairs properly. Helping those who are in need. Because the Holy Spirit is helping your own infirmity and weakness. So he expects you also help the weaknesses people, all right? Not being judgmental. If you go into a judgmental kind of life, that's why he says, judge not and you won't be judged. Condemn not, you'll be condemned. Forgive, you'll be forgiven. Forgive people. He says, and give, and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men bring it to your bosom. So, supplications, all right? Enter into the place of worship. This is a journey. It won't be long, but it's an intense journey towards manifestation. Once you get the scriptures that have enlightened your heart, given you encouragement about that particular thing, and you've offered it up to God in prayer, consider it done. But that is not the end of the journey of faith towards the manifestation and the activity of prayer. There is another type of prayer. This is where people miss it. Yes, you might offer the supplication and say, God has heard my supplication. But intercession must go on. In other words, while you are waiting, for if we wait for that which we see not, all right, it says, for if we hope for that which we see not, with patience we wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. You know what? If you don't allow the Holy Ghost to do that intercession, you are bought that particular thing that God has planted on the inside of you. Because you are going to even forget. You just drop it. The intensity won't be there. So the Holy Spirit begins to make intercession right there. And is making intercession. Now, during that intercessory time of the Holy Spirit, when you open your Bible, the actions and the things that you ought to do. And this is the most blessed time of Christianity. Because as you are interceding, the Holy Spirit begins to teach you things. He begins to guide you. Things you didn't hear on the pulpit. Now, what you heard on the pulpit formed the supplication. But now, you need no man to teach you, but as the anointing, the Holy Spirit has taught you, abide inside him. So the Holy Spirit now begins to show you things. That is the most powerful time in your Christian world. If you are a minister, that is the message. That's where your messages come out of. If you don't walk that path, that's what God was saying. He said, if any man draws back, my soul shall have no pleasure. But we are of them who believe unto the saving of the soul and not to perdition. In other words, that is the process where your own soul is saved and things, all right, happen. So stay in the house of God in terms of worshiping and praising him with thanksgiving and stay in that labor place in prayer in order to pray that particular thing through. I hope you are sincerely blessed. I pray for every single person who watched today. God grant them the inner strength that if they have prayed things that they have dropped, that they go back, pick those things up, worship you, and continue in the place of travail until he's born. Let me just say one more thing that came to my mind. Because some of you might have I'm dropped things in the past. Now, let me quickly say this. There was a story a man, Reverend Keith Moore, said, so he helped some of you so you don't go under condemnation. And he said he had believed God for something, and he was confessing, and all that. And he set a date, and it didn't happen on that day, and he dropped it. So he said when he got to Rhema Bible School, he heard Kenneth Hagin teaching of how he believed God for something. And he said it was almost the same thing he did. So he asked God, he said, how come his work, mine didn't work? And God told him, he said, listen, it's because you stopped doing it at a particular point and you dropped it because you set a date and I didn't put the date in the promise. So God told him something. God said, you know what? If you plant an orange seed, all right, then you have an orange fruit. It's a corruptible seed. The fruit can get corrupt, drop, spoil, and drop. If you plant an apple seed, it's a corruptible seed, all right, which means can be destroyed. So the nature of the fruit is that it can also be destroyed. It gets, he said, but when you plant an incorruptible seed and an eternal seed, you have an incorruptible fruit and an eternal fruit. He said, all those things you planted that you dropped, they are still hanging on that tree. If you come back, they are still there in the realm of the spirit. Pick up from where you stopped and go into it. So some of you have heard from heaven the sound of the abundance of rain. All right, the seed has been planted on the inside. That seed is still active inside your heart. It's still yearning within you, but you dropped it. You forsook mercy. God didn't forsake you. God never. He has engraven you upon the palms of his hands. Anytime there's an abortion there, you forsook it. Go back to that thing. Open that scripture again. Read it out. Start your confession again. But this time, let the intercession of the Spirit help your infirmities and weakness there and pray that particular thing through. God bless you, man.